Matthew chapter 1. If you got your Bibles, you can turn there if you want. Otherwise, I'm just going to read. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Father, thank you for your word that we can read together tonight. Thank you, Lord, that your word is truth. And God, as we read your word, we remember, Lord, we remember tonight of all nights, we remember what you did in coming to this earth 2,000 years ago. God, we give you the glory for it. And we pray in these next few moments, Lord, that you would be present in this place and that you would touch each of our hearts, God, as we talk about this scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. That name Jesus means the Lord saves. The Lord saves. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. The Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, wrote this to the disciple Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:15. And in saying it, he said that this statement was a trustworthy saying, meaning that we could trust that it was true. And it deserves full acceptance, meaning that we should receive it fully. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And as he says, it is for this reason, Paul says, that he was shown mercy so that Jesus might display his immense patience. How many know he needs to have some immense patience with you? Yeah. Yep. To display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. In other words, those who look at our lives and they see the immense patience of our Savior. Oh man, if he's patient with me, with this guy, he can be patient with you too. Amen? Jesus came to save sinners. We certainly have a tendency, though, to make this holiday season, this Christmas season, about a lot of other things. The giving and the receiving of gifts, the family get-togethers, the listening for reindeer paws on rooftops, time off of work and school, Christmas trees with ornaments, tinsel, garland, and lots of lights, and special Christmas cookies, which I do tend to like a lot. You hear about all these things in many of the different Christmas songs that we hear this time of year, and then hear, and then hear, and then hear over and over and over. On the radio, they got to pack it in all in this 1 month so that we get sick and tired of it. We got to wait 11 months to hear them again until we're ready for it. But the reason that we celebrate Christmas isn't for any of those things. Because our Creator God wrapped himself in our flesh and came to earth, born as one of us, to save us from sin. Why? Why would our Creator God, the one who is perfect, the one who hasn't done anything wrong ever, why would he want to do something like this for those of us who are not so perfect? For those of us who have done wrong things. Why? Because he wants a relationship with you. He wants to be in relationship with you. Way back at the very beginning of time, Genesis chapter 1, God created the heavens and the earth. And over those first 6 days, God methodically created all the parts and pieces of creation that we see today. He created the light, and he separated it from the darkness. He created the sky and separated it from the land below. He created the sun, the moon, the stars. By the way, he created the sun on day four. He created light on day one. He created light before there was sun. He created the land. He created after he made the background or the backdrop to creation, then he started putting in things like plants and animals and birds and fish. But the crown of his creation was on the sixth day when God made man. And he made man different than anything else that he had created. For of all the things that God created, we were the ones who were made in his image. In his image. As a parent looks at their newborn, determining what features this new child of theirs has that represent them, they have my nose. They have your eyes. They have my hair. So there are features that each and every person has that God created that look like him. That look like him. And as parents build a relationship with their child over the years of their lives, so God intends to build a relationship with each one of us. That is his desire. He wants a relationship with each of us. Doesn't matter how much we've sinned, doesn't matter how much we've spit in his face, he still wants a relationship with us. Prior to Adam and Eve sinning, God would walk in the cool of the garden, it says in Genesis 3 and verse 8. But after they sinned, there was this separation that occurred. They became afraid for the first time. They realized that they were naked, and so they hid. And yet God did not run away. God did not run away. But he called out to the man, "Where are you? Where are you?" As I've been saying the last couple of Sundays, Jesus or God comes to us in our sin to not leave us in our sin, but to bring us out of it. Why? Because he wants a relationship with us. We broke that relationship through sin. But in the same chapter in Genesis that Adam and Eve sinned, God spoke of the one who would come, an offspring of theirs, that would crush the head of the serpent or Satan, and thereby making a way for sinners to come to God by dismantling the power of sin over us. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yes. And so thousands of years later, when the set time had fully come, like we read in Galatians 4 earlier today, God fulfilled that prophecy from Genesis 3 by putting on our flesh and walking with us. Emmanuel, God with us. We think of Adam walking in the garden before the first sin in Genesis 3. And then we can go to the other end of the Bible, into the book of Revelation, where we realize or we hear that that initial relationship will once again be restored. And we will get to be and walk with God like Adam did. Revelation 21 and verse 3, it says this, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people." This will be someday. "And he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." Not will he just only be their God, but that he will be with us and be our God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We could see those things as two events, two bookends, so to speak. We got Genesis before the fall of man, and we got Revelation where the restoration, the full restoration of all mankind for those who choose to believe in him and who choose to follow him. And we can see ourselves falling between somewhere in the two, between two, probably between Jude and Revelation. You know, that's kind of where we're at today. But something happens between these two events in Genesis and Revelation that starts the process that we see the end result of in Revelation 21:3. God came to earth as a baby. And in that fleshly body he wrapped himself in, he grew to be a man like us. And in doing so, God came to walk with us in between the beginning, before Adam and Eve sinned, before the end. God came in the flesh to walk with us. We know him as Jesus Christ. When we couldn't walk with him, as Adam did before, When we couldn't walk with him, God himself stepped into humanity to walk with us. To walk with us. Why? Because he wants a relationship with us. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners so that we can have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, our Creator. Why does he want a relationship with us? Because he loves us. Because he loves us. You're probably familiar with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's good news right there. God loves us. But let's keep reading. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, no matter what we've said, thought, or done. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So condemnation comes not because of the fact that we have sinned, but because we do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. More than a good man, more than a teacher, more than a prophet or a rabbi, he is Emmanuel, God with us. 2,000 years ago in the flesh, today in the form of the Holy Spirit, who lives in the hearts of all who believe in him. But here's our issue. John 3 and verse 19. Jesus says this. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. What happened with Adam and Eve is still the same case today. It's not that we can't come and have a relationship with God. Jesus paved the way for every single person to come to him. It's not that. But because we like our sin a little too much that we're not willing to let it go. Because we don't want to have it exposed, that we refuse to come to him. But if we do choose to come into the light, in other words, to live in the truth, then verse 21 of John 3 is true for us. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. In other words, God, you see me just as I am. There is nothing about me that is hidden from you. And I am not able to build a relationship with you based on the perception I try to give somebody else in this world that I'm good and I've got it all together. Because God sees all of me. He sees everything that I've ever done. All of my life is on pages in a book before him. He sees every single one of my days. I can't build a relationship with someone like that who sees all that I am and not share that with them. I can't hide that away from him. He sees it, and he wants us to come into the light with him. Like a parent watching their child go through life as they're growing up, celebrating them in their successes, but also there to walk through the stuff that they go through and their failures. Because for a child, those things that the child does are probably not hidden, not too often anyway. My mom would always have those eyes in the back of her head. She could always tell what I was doing. I always seemed to know. But those things aren't hidden from discussion, but they're brought into the open to talk about so that we can teach our children when they are young how to live right, how to do what is good, right? We have opportunity to raise them up so that when we are ready, when they are ready to go, that we can, like an arrow, we can shoot them out and they will fly straight and hit the mark that God intended. That is a purpose for every parent, okay? But watching them and walking through their failures with them as well, that's the kind of stuff that makes relationships grow. If a relationship was only hunky-dory, everything is peachy keen, jelly bean, that kind of stuff, that relationship is not very deep. It's a very shallow relationship. But when you can say, hey, I'm going to share with you not just the gospel, but my life as well, as Paul said, then there's some other things that come out. There's some realism that comes out. You guys know I share things on Sunday mornings that I'm not proud of in my life. You know? There's things that I share because I want you to know that, hey, I'm just as real as you are. Okay? Just because I'm standing up here in front of you doesn't mean that I don't have faults, that I don't struggle. That's all of us. But when we can do that together, it helps us to build a deeper relationship. When we can share the things that are going on in our lives, it helps us to build a deeper relationship. When I was in depression 16 years ago, I had a couple times that I met with my dad, my earthly dad. I want you to know I was married, had three kids at this point, and I was struggling. I was struggling. And one of the times that I met with my dad was actually we were on a trip from Ohio to Nebraska. We were moving some stuff in a moving van from one place to the other. And I had several hours to spend with him in the vehicle. And so it wasn't just like this, oh, yeah, how's it going kind of conversations, but it was like, hey, Dad, you know, I'm struggling with some stuff. This is what's going on in my life. And I began to confess some of the things that no father would ever want to hear their son had ever done. Another time, again in depression, I was struggling really bad as well. And that day, my dad left work early and came and sat with me in my house, or actually in his house. We had a wife, I had a wife and three kids, and so they couldn't meet in our house. Met in his house, and we sat down, and I just began to unpack more of that stuff that just was just in me that needed to come out. And my dad sat there, and he listened to me. And from that day on, he continued to walk through that stuff with me. Why? Because he loves me. Because he wanted to have a relationship with me. Because he was doing the role of a father to walk through that stuff with his child. It was part of my healing. I needed that. God wants to bring healing in relationship. He wants to do the same with us. He wants to sit down and have you bring those things that separate you from him into the open with him. He knows they're already there. He wants you to bring that stuff to him. Those reasons that make you feel like you can't come to him. Like he wants nothing to do with you. He wants to work through those things with you to bring healing into your life. And he does it because he loves you. And that's why he sent his son. Because he wants a relationship with you. Who you truly are, not who you are in your Sunday best. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. That's all of us, by the way. But you can't have a relationship with him if you keep things from him, including yourself. Including yourself. I'm going to wrap up here. The worship team can come back. But on this Christmas Eve night, I want to ask you, are you hiding from him? For fear of bringing stuff into the light, are you hiding from him? Or because you feel like he doesn't want you or to talk about those things that you struggle with? Let me assure you, he is seeking after you. As God called out to Adam, where are you? He's calling out to you. He's asking you the same thing. On this Christmas night, will you answer him? Will you come to him? And close your eyes on me. On this Christmas Eve night, before the things that you have planned to do tonight and tomorrow happen, will you choose to bring yourself into the light and make the decision to follow Jesus? He loves you. He loves you. He showed us his love by sending his son to walk with us when we couldn't walk with him. To bear our sins on that cross and to pay the price for everything we've ever said, thought, or done wrong. He's seeking you out tonight. You may have thought you just came into this place to go to a traditional Christmas Eve service, but tonight, God has another plan for you. He's calling you to Him. Is there anybody in this place that would say, that's me tonight? I know He's calling me. I know that I've run. I know that I've hidden. Maybe I'm scared of Him. But I'm going to just choose a little bit tonight, just to open my heart up just a little bit and say, maybe what He's saying up there is true. If that's you tonight, if you're ready to make that decision to say, yes, I will bring myself into the light tonight. With every eye closed in this place, just raise up a hand with me right now. Is there anybody here tonight? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For those who raised your hands, and every believer in this place, let's take a few moments just to commit ourselves to the Lord tonight. I'm not going to put words in your mouth. You make this prayer your own. You can start out by saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me, for coming as a baby and dying for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Confessing to Him, Lord, I'm sorry, I've done what's wrong. I've made mistakes. I haven't honored You with my life that You gave me. You are the author of life. I'm sorry, Lord. Please forgive me. I turn away from those things. And I turn to You. I'm choosing tonight to follow after You. I'm choosing tonight to go and meet with You, to come into the light. I'm choosing tonight to make You my Lord. Help me to live a life of full surrender before You, whether for the first time or as a rededication tonight. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you pray that prayer and you meant it from your heart, you are a son or a daughter of God. You are a son or a daughter of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. You need to tell somebody. If you made that decision tonight, you need to tell somebody. Enemy tries to steal, kill, and destroy. You got to tell somebody so they can remind you when you're feeling like, I don't know if I made that decision. I don't know if I was real or not. You got to tell somebody. You need to read the Bible. Get in the Bible. Who of you in here has YouVersion Bible app or uses it? If you need help reading the Bible, find one of these people. They will help you get set up in YouVersion, okay, on your phone. You need to pray. Spend time with our Lord. Spend time with Him, just like you would a good friend. And then be here on a regular basis for fellowship. It's important. Amen? Let's stand together and let's worship together again tonight.